Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's least coherent podcast network. Hey everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Why Am I Sad? I'm Joel.
I'm Zoe B.
I'm George.
And I'm Cass.
And we're fine.
Hello sunshine, hello blue skies, hello lovely day. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-da-da.
How is everybody? Everyone doing well?
We're fine.
Yeah. I just became an uncle, actually.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah. I know that you put a lot of effort into that, George. Well done. I'm glad it worked out for you.
It was a long road. Long road, but I did it.
Yeah, okay? He did. Yeah.
I made appropriate wisecracks several times about the fiancé's weight in a lighthearted way, which everyone laughed at.
What?
Made light. It's all part of the riffing of, you know, being pregnant.
Yeah.
You know.
It's all part of riffing on a woman.
Exactly. Riffing on a pregnant woman.
It's good that when someone's body is aflush with things that change their moods a lot. What's that thing? Kicking them when they're down?
No, comedy is about...
Babies kick them.
Babies.
Comedy is about punching up. And there is no one in society that we hold higher than an expecting mother.
Exactly.
So it's okay for them to cop it.
You know what? That actually almost sounds legit. Thanks, Joel.
No worries. Use if my bullshit as legitimate arguments.
That's true. You know what?
They're very rational people, is what I've heard.
Yeah. Always up for a good joke.
Always.
They love everything about their changing bodies.
Yep.
And they love it when people point it out.
Exactly. Yeah. And they get the humor of the situation.
Yeah,
fine. I think a nice part about it is that because, you know, we've all been a baby.
Yeah.
And have been inside a pregnant woman. We know exactly how it feels. So there's no need for them to ever feel isolated, ostracized, or like anything that we're making fun of.
Why?
In the coolest way possible.
You got to come at me and be like, wrong, Cass. You can't. right.
Joel, what are you doing, right? This is jokes about pregnant women. It's open game, right?
They're punching funny.
Up. Yeah.
You've been in one.
They've had a two.
Yes.
Exactly.
I guess, yes, we all have.
Yeah. So once you've been inside it, you've earned the right to make fun of it. That's the rule.
You never say that again, George. Never say those words again in that order. Don't ever. I'm not kidding. Never say that again. Never say that again.
George, say it all the time. Put it on your tombstone.
I can't even remember what I said. I was too caught up in the moment. What happened?
Yeah, that's because the power of magic has just been like, fuck, we need this again. Dragons... We didn't want them. Fairies, no. George needs to stop. Let's wipe him. Men in Black style.
Hey, look, let's certain moments, as long as...
Fine, it's just something the body does. It's natural.
Exactly. Yeah. Pregnancy. And look, it's beautiful and she looked beautiful, so that's what made it okay.
Yep.
And, you know, she was a...
Hang on. George. Mm-hmm. Are you using the fact that you... thought really positive things about a person and decided to instead say negative things. Is that what you did? Did you see someone
way.
And think, she looks great, and then think, you know what?
Take it down a couple levels.
It's like how...
She's getting cocky.
It's like how you like
this pregnant woman had it too easy.
Yeah.
It's like bullying your mom because she loves you regardless.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not bullying in my case, but yeah.
Well, it's not bullying.
Yeah, George.
It sounds gentle like ribbing is
yeah, gentle
okay.
verbal assault.
It's playful. Look, I'll put it out there. I'm sure, done right. It's fun. You know, it's like I make fun of There's nowhere I can go with that, which doesn't result in potentially awkward situation. So maybe I'll stop there.
Exactly. And we'll move along.
Stop
right
there. Stop there.
Hey, one thing you know about George is he knows that he probably should have stopped several sentences ago. And that's a
he doesn't
skill
know
worth
that
having.
I was not aware.
Given him the benefit of the doubt, I guess, look fair.
It's like how you guys make fun of me for being so socially handsome. Inept. You see? That's the same thing. In fact, that's almost meaner because I can't control that.
Exactly. He just doesn't know.
And he's not the same level as a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
It's not pregnant punching ladies up for us.
Pregnant women get to choose to be pregnant. I can't choose to be socially inept.
Don't you know the hierarchy? It is pregnant woman and above that little Greek princes.
Yeah.
That's the top of the hierarchy here.
Oh, but then it's still allowed because it's punching
up. Oh,
you're
sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, we're down the bottom. Right? Come on.
No one. They're untouchable.
With the little babies.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Yes, it's right down the bottom. You can't touch them. Little Greek princes.
They can't help it. Yeah. They were born that way.
You guys have been hanging out with my mum, haven't you?
They started their life inside of a pregnant woman.
Exactly.
George, I have my own Greek mother. Yeah. I grew up with this. I grew up not being a little Greek prince.
No.
I got to watch my brother be a little Greek prince. But on the plus side, I'm an Italian angel. So my dad pampered me.
Perfect.
So we evened out. Two very well-adjusted adults.
It does sound like a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
That does sound better.
No, good. So anyway, let us move on because we've got a whole inbox full of people with their own issues and problems. So let's try and get our way through them. So, first email. Hello, love the podcast. Let me give you a little bit of background about me. My father was an abusive alcoholic arsehole that I haven't had any contact with since at the age of 25, I packed up my mother, younger brother and sister and moved us the hell out.
Okay, so that's the opening line.
Yep. My brother and sister will talk to him if he approaches them at work, since he's a customer. Fortunately, they have begun to see what a worthless piece of shit he is. He still hasn't even met my younger sister's son, who is turning 3 next May. We had a decent enough childhood. Our mother made sure of that, but nearly every day our parents would scream and yell at each other, or our father would scream about the house not being clean, there being no dinner, laundry not being done, etc. So I took it upon myself to do all the cooking and cleaning and help my mom take care of my siblings. I dumped so many roach-filled, half-drunk beer cans in the trash during my teen years, and the smell of beer still makes me nauseous to this day. If there was anything that needed to be done, I did it. To the point that I developed OCD because of it. Money was always a big issue in our household and the start of most fights. As a stay-at-home mum, my mother didn't bring any money, and my father never let her forget it. If we made noise while we slept, my father would scream at us that he was going to either call in or take all of his money and stay in a hotel, whether the money he took was bill money or not. When my mother's mother died, she left us children money in a trust that we wouldn't touch until we turned 25. And my mother received 30K. My father informed her that it was half his legally and that she had to give it to him or else. Now, we now know that that wasn't true, but at the time, we had no idea. Now that there was money, my father promptly took time off work unpaid, got all his teeth pulled, racked up medical bills we couldn't pay, and any money left over went to the new casino in town. My mother went to forget about her awful life and try to win money to get her and her children to a home of their own. My father went to gamble and drink, which he did in spades. So now I'm 33 years old, decent job, a clean place to live, money in savings, a fiance, my brother has his own place, my sister is married with a baby and a nice home. My life is everything I dreamed of as a child, stable and happy. But it's not enough. No matter what I do, whether I clean the house, take care of the yard, create a garden, learn to can my own food, save nearly 38% of my meager income, take care of my mother, etc., 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 it never seems to be enough. Regardless of what it is, I never felt like I'm doing everything I need to be doing for it or about it. I've always got 900 irons in the fire, and it really takes its toll on me, but still, I feel like I could do more. I don't know how to feel like I'm doing good or how to be proud of myself. I know everyone looks at me like a strong woman with her life together, but deep down, I feel like a failure, like I haven't done enough to deserve what I've gotten. If I feel like this now, how will I feel when I have more than I do now? I think deep down, I'm terrified that I'm going to forget a detail, miss one small step that will ultimately derail everything I've done, and I'll end up back in that roach-infested death trap, holding my brother and sister tightly as our father screams and threatens violence. I don't know how to embrace my new reality. Please help. So, couple things I'm back.
That's a big one.
That's a big house. That's a big house. It's all been put into a box, and that's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. Mm. So first off, well done for getting you and your immediate family out of a very toxic environment, and well done for making good out of something that was a very terrible situation.
It's amazing.
You have done extremely well, and you should be proud of yourself. Yeah, I you have done extremely well. And yeah, I understand that you don't feel like maybe you deserve this, that you are waiting for it all to crumble. And I understand that considering you have come from a place of quite a lot of toxicity. But what you have done is incredible. And yeah, be proud of that.
Yeah, that story doesn't always end that way. And the fact that you've been able to not only live in an environment that I don't think we need to get into why it was so toxic. I think it's pretty clear, but a really toxic environment that you then had to take on extra roles that you shouldn't have had to do as a child, take on emotional responsibility that you didn't have to as a child, and then still come out of it, pull everyone else out as well, it sounds like, and then create success for yourself. And success is such a strange word to use because success is such a personal thing, and it doesn't sound like you really see that for yourself. But oh my God, like I hope hearing us read that back to you, you can hear it in someone else's voice and just really see and hear from another perspective, even though it's yours, like how far you've come, because that is so much. And, you know, my thoughts when I read this is that, and this is hopefully not prying, but you were in a situation in which nothing, because you were a child, nothing you could have done would have fixed it. Like there was literally nothing you could have done to do anything, and yet you still were doing so much to improve your situation and to make life livable for everyone else. Mm-hmm. But I don't think in that situation it could have been quote unquote enough for the thing that you were wanting to do, which was fix everything, which it's not on you. Like that is not something you could have done. But even then you moved through it and you ended up fixing it when you became older. Like that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's like, so much pressure to put on you. Like you are not responsible for a whole family, and yet you still pulled them out.
Yeah. And you've made a much safer and better environment for not just yourself, but again, your two younger siblings, which again is something incredible and something to be proud of. From what it sounds like, you have a little bit of imposter syndrome where it's just kind of like you feel like you don't deserve what you have, that you haven't earned it, that, you know, you're doing everything right, but there's that little like niggling feeling in the back of your head where there's this little voice saying that, you know, you don't deserve this and that this will all come crumbling down and everyone will find out and you'll be back to square one. We all, I guess not all, but a lot of us go through that.
Or different degrees. Situations, not always with our living how we're alive, you know.
So in terms of embracing your new reality, I think if you haven't gone to see a therapist, I think, again, I know it's a broken record we are on this show.
Yeah, but it's the best thing you can do because they are trained to help you change the way you think.
Yeah.
And it sounds like even from your email, you're acknowledging that you are able to say, this was bad and I know it was bad for these reasons and my life now is good and stable and that's good for these reasons, but it's hard to marry in your mind, which is so, like, I don't think that is, you know, weird or anything given what you've been through, but there are people out there who know exactly how to help you. And I think you are so worth the time to go see someone to let them help you through this, because you deserve to be as happy as you are. You deserve to feel all the joy of all the lives you have improved with all your hard work. Like, you deserve the world. Please, please let someone help you with that.
Yeah, it does sound like you're also there's a lot of trauma there that you maybe haven't addressed head on. Like your biggest fear is ending back in like a roach infested death trap while your father screams at you. So again, there is a lot of trauma there that a professional will definitely be able to help you unpack a lot of this and help you, yeah, deal with some strategies, having grown up in such, again, a toxic environment.
I think as well that when you're talking about trauma, childhood trauma as well, is when you do go to therapy, and I know that my therapist pointed out to me, is like when you talk about childhood trauma, you talk about it through your child eye. Like, if that makes sense. Like, if I look back on my trauma and I'm back at being 6 years old in the same way that you're saying, like, you're just imagining being back in this like roach infected house. Like, you talk about your trauma, like with that, like your brain immediately goes back to that kind of fear, where with therapy, you can learn how to look at it from an adult's perspective and be like, because for us, we're all sitting here as an adult, as adults hearing the story, and we're like, that's terrible. That's a child going through something exceptionally terrible. And you, because it was your reality, like, it's got to be so difficult to separate the two. Like, and so hopefully that with some therapy, you can look at it and be like, that was objectively terrible. We are no longer there anymore. And so you can then look at the look at the history of it without that emotion coming up when you face it, and then you're really able to work through these problems.
Yeah. I mean, I the halfway through that, when you're reading that, I thought it was going to go in a much darker direction. It actually ended up being very positive for like so much of the outcome, apart from the issues that obviously that you've got to work through. But to get to that place already is so far along than a lot of people would be. But yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I mean, you could sit here and do a million guesses of therapy-based stuff, like, you know, accepting powerlessness in that situation. Maybe you feel like, you know, if you could have changed it, that means you were in control of a little bit, but since you like can't, the child. Then like, yeah, you weren't. Yeah. So like that part of it might actually be scary to confront, but it's the truth. But I know, but I think there's a classic thing we've said a million times before. It's just, you've got a sister and brother, and like, so well, how would you feel if they said what you're saying now? What would you tell them? That's a straightaway that I would think. Like, that's the most obvious thing straight away. What would you think if they turned around and said what you're saying right now about feeling like not enough and not doing enough and all this stuff? How would you respond to them? That's like, seems like the most immediate way to kind of grasp how you feel about this, because I think you would probably treat them a lot nicer than you're potentially treating yourself based on everything
you've
done.
And there is always that worry. Like, I totally understand it, because we grew up very like working class. We grew up like paycheck to paycheck, and if the next paycheck didn't come, it was ugh. And it's always there in the back of your mind, regardless of how much you succeed and how much you aren't in that position anymore. There's always going to be a little bit of fear, because you know what it's like. Like, you know what the bottom of the barrel feels like, and so you have such a respect for what you have now, because you know what the worst can be. And so it's understandable that you would be nervous about losing it all, fucking finger quotes.
Yeah.
But it also sounds like you've got a pretty good handle on it. The fact that you're saying that you've got savings, and you've all, not only like have you all got houses and partners and stuff, like it sounds like you've got a pretty good handle on life, and it's okay to enjoy it. Like it's okay, you know, like coming from like, you know, pretty low income background, like there's always that worry of like, oh no, like I'm like, I have no savings. I have nothing. Like I, you know, monetarily, like it's always like a bit of a crapshoot doing day to day. But at the same time, it's like, hey, I'm better than where I was, so I should enjoy it.
Yeah, no, like, it's just that weird thing, because you still have that mindset. Like I'm very much the same. It's like I have savings accounts. I have been able to do that kind of thing. Like I have been able to be like, right, I've got my ducks in a row and that kind of stuff, but I play it so conservative because I'm like, but what if it all just comes crumbling down and I'm back to nothing?
Yeah.
And yeah, there is that weird.
Yeah. There's a point where that's normal, and there's a point where it's like, nah, now you got to just relax.
Yeah.
It's good to have a buffer, and then there's like, okay, now just take it easy. And then like having that, if you just keep like, okay, once I've saved this much, I'm good. Then you're like, actually, what if an extra thing happens?
I'm going to save a bit more. Yeah. Again, I
keep doing that.
You know, having been in, you know, debt, quite a lot of debt at one point in my life, again, we're now very much veering into like finances, but like having been in debt at one point in my life.
Because it's the emotional thing that comes with finance.
Yeah.
Like finances themselves inherently like are scary and stressful, but it's like that emotion that comes with it, especially when you're raised by someone who is constantly threatening to take it away, whether it's personally someone threatening to take it away, or we always had the fear of like, because my parents are self-employed, like, what if someone doesn't pay us? What if we've done all this work and we've done X amount of dollars worth of work and they
don't pay?
They don't pay, which was a reality for us a lot of the time, is that someone was like, nah, not going to pay you. Fuck you.
Mm.
And so then it was like, okay, fuck.
Cool. What now?
Yeah, like, what do you do when someone takes away money from you that you're expecting? You know, and you can, like George said, you can prepare and prepare and prepare, but the fact is, like, at some point, you have to be like, I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
You've got to be present in the moments that you are having.
Yeah, it's weird trying to be like, I have this, but I'm like, I think I'm almost in a very similar position where I'm like only realizing now, because I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I was like in debt because of my ex and, you know, had debt collectors coming and all that kind of shit. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I can see where this is coming from. Okay, cool. Mm. I need to address a few things. I should enjoy. But, yeah, no, it's hard to... Yeah, marry these ideas in your head that kind of like, oh, hang on, I'm over here, I'm no longer there anymore, I'm actually doing really well.
In terms of stresses like that, I know I've been really, really lucky where I haven't had the financial side of it, but I have had other times where it's, I can acknowledge that a stress that I am feeling is, I think all things you experience mentally happen along a spectrum. And there becomes a point where it's like, okay, so, you know, for me to be stressed about, you know, A, B, C, or D, normal. Everyone gets a bit stressed about it. It's completely fine. But then it can get to a stage where it's like, oh, hang on. No, I think I'm getting more stressed than is necessary and that is productive. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, not being stressed all the time, obviously, is not great. But sometimes you will get stressed about things every now and then, and that's fine. Everyone does it. That's part of being alive. But I know therapy helped me with that, where I was like, hey, I am stressed about these things and I know that it's reasonable for me to feel stressed, but I know it's not right now. Like, it's getting to the point where I'm seeing people around me and no one else is getting as stressed. They are careful and they are, you know, concerned enough, but it's not productive and it's actually becoming it's becoming a problem.
Mm.
And I think being able to recognize that. And then, again, broken records, but if you see a therapist, they'll be able to, like, help you sort through that and be like, okay, here is sort of a level that we can manage, because you're never going to live a stress-free life, but you should never be stressed that being stressed is taking over your life.
And it would be worth – sorry to interrupt, Cass, but it would be worth then possibly talking to your brother and your sister and your mum, because it sounds like you've never had, like, a net to catch you. You've never had someone that you can fall back and rely on. You've had to be completely self-sufficient your entire life.
You had
to be the net for everyone else. It might be worth talking to your family now that they're in a more stable position, just to reassure yourself, to be like, look, if anything ever happens to me and, like, you know, whatever, like, say all the money gets drained from my account and I lose my job and I lose my partner and da-da-da, like, the worst possible case scenario happens, like, it would be worth, like, chatting to your family to be like, if everything falls to shit in my life, you guys are going to catch me, right? Because they're now in a position to catch you. And it would be worth just, even like, sometimes it's about hearing that reassurance, like, you, because you can know it. Like, you can know it in your heart. You're like, I know my family's going to catch me if I fall, but there could be something to be said about hearing it from them.
Yeah. I was going to say, it would be very good to have a chat to your siblings and your mother as well. Also about, again, the group trauma that you've experienced. Again, I'm not quite sure how open you are with your younger siblings in regards to sort of the things that, like, you know, happened in your childhood. You know, being the oldest, you would have experienced it a lot more than, say, the youngest one, when you would be more aware of what was sort of going on. So, you know, having to, like, again, I'm not quite sure of the relationship with your siblings, but, you know, that's a nice place to start if, you know, you don't want to go to therapy yet, even though, like, again, we all recommend it. But chatting to them about, you know, these insecurities that you have, chatting to them about, you know, what they also went through from a different perspective, you know, and kind of like helping each other unpack what happened.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned that it's, you know, only more recently is, like, your younger siblings realizing that your father is a piece of shit. And it's just like, well, obviously they didn't have the exact same experience that you had when you got out of there. Mm. So trying to, you know, help each other in this situation. And then, as Zoe did say, it's kind of like, you know, you were such the safety net. And maybe they didn't realize that you were such that safety net. But also now is a time for them to maybe help you out as well.
Well, that's what I was going to say. There could be an issue here. And again, we don't know. We haven't got enough information for this. But a classic, it does sound a lot like if you've taken this role on for yourself of being this person who's responsible and helped out these guys, you might be in a position where you don't want them to, you don't have that kind of relationship where you feel like comfortable talking to them about your insecurities and your doubts. So it's like you kind of feel, and that's unfair to them and to you a little bit because you're kind of putting them in a position of being like, oh, I've got these things that I'm carrying for you and you don't understand. And they're like just sitting there being like, we can talk, like you can probably open up to us if you let us in. Like,
that
could be really hard to do when you've been in this position for so long to let down that thing and actually admit, oh, I'm not totally across everything and you guys can help me.
And you can delegate a little bit. Like, I think there's something to be said. Like there is a special kind of bond when you share a trauma. There is a special kind of bond. And I know like my brother and I, when we talk about our shared trauma, are very much like I thought I took on this really big protector role. And then because I got sick within this situation happening and was dealing with my own depression, my brother then had to step up and really be my protector. And I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that because for so long that had been our role and our roles. And we had done it that way. And then it wasn't until like I crumbled and he just completely like stepped up to the plate and was like, I got you, don't stress. And I was like, oh, good. Thank you. And then that completely changed the dynamic because now it wasn't like one person taking care of another. It was two people taking care of each other. And it changed how we approached these kind of things because then we had someone to talk to and strategize and all of these things that when you're going through it, you're just like, I just want someone to talk to about it. And then like, and someone who got it was like, I know. I fucking know. You're like, good, good. I don't have to explain how fucking insane this is to you.
Shared trauma, right?
Share it. It's the only way. It's the only way to bond with another human being.
If you've got the chance, if you're able to,
Yeah, if you could share a trauma, really makes a friendship.
That's carrying the coffin, baby.
Yeah.
You can't have one pallbearer.
I hope that helped and I hope you, A, get the help that you're after and B, learn to accept that you've done an amazing job and you should really be proud of that. You've really from where you started to where you are now, again, it's incredible and well fucking done. Cause that there's a lot of people who have that same story that have not ended where you have. And so that is something to be extremely proud of.
Just as like another last note, I know we say this a lot, but look, if you are having trouble at the moment, you know, until you get to therapy or psychologist, accepting the things that you are trying to accept, defer to us. We're on your side. We want you to have fun. Like, if you need permission, we give it to you. Like, if this helps,
spend
enjoy
that
yourself.
Cash, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's party time.
Yeah.
So next email is from the UK. It reads, I'm sad because my friend died. She died in March just before lockdown and we've never had a memorial service and I've thought about her every day since. I have a close group of friends who all knew her through me, and I feel like the few times we've been able to see each other recently, it's been either the elephant in the room or like we're having a good time and I don't want to bring her up and make everyone else sad. This is the first person I've really known who's died, and I guess I'm looking for some life advice from some older people. No offense, I'm 22 and with more life experience than me. I know you guys will suggest therapy, correct, but I'm not sure how comfortable I'll be talking to a stranger about how much I miss my friend.
All right.
Weirdly, I might stay out of this one because I have never lost anyone close to me like that. I just haven't. So I don't know any of the sort of emotions or how to deal with this, so I will defer it to everyone else in the room.
I was just going to open with that. I understand that you might feel uncomfortable talking to a stranger about how much you miss your friend, but remember that it is a service you pay for. So, like, don't think
like
about
they have
it so
to
much.
Listen.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they have to listen, and they do this job to help people. And there are people out there who would want to help you, but it is also like remember that it is a paid service. If you go to therapy, you are never a burden. It's never like, oh, I'm dumping my problems on a stranger, because it is different to that. It is a paid service to help you get better. I don't know if that will really help because it is such a personal thing, but just keep that in mind. Like it's I'm not saying this will make it easier, but maybe just a different perspective to look at, if that would help, because that would help. If you are open to therapy, it would really, really help.
Yeah, I think so as well. Like, Zin, you got it's the one I realized here from you guys. You taught me this. It's like there's a certain amount you can chat to your friends, but maybe there's some stuff which actually it's better to chat to a neutral stranger about, even if it's personal, because it's just you need to get off your chest, and sometimes there's a lot to put on friends, but that's not to mean that you don't also talk to your friends as well when it's required. So that's why it's kind of both. But like, definitely don't think it's just because you don't know them. That's actually a good thing in a way.
Yeah,
because
sometimes
it's a neutral.
It's good to have a mediator kind of there in the room. But I think in the email you say that like you had a group of friends that you were like shared with this person. They probably miss them just as much and probably want to talk about them just as much. Like I don't think of yourself as this outlier in this situation. Like, grief is weirdly communal, and talking about it and talking about how you're grieving just is like helpful in such a weird way. Like, you're not trying to like bring other people down, but at the same time, like, they're feeling the same way, and they probably would love if someone would break the ice and start talking about this friend.
Yeah, and I know this is probably one of the things when it happened to us, like with a friend of mine, everyone got real pissed.
like
real drunk? Yeah, drunk. Like, as in, and especially the first couple of nights, it was fucked up, to be honest. The house was a dark, bad, it wasn't being dealt with well the first night at all. But after that, even when we went to the service and all that, one of the things that would happen was the conversation wouldn't be exclusively just on them. Sometimes you'd be talking about something else, and then it would go back to them, and then it would go away again. And like, it's just natural. So you can bring it up whenever you want. People respond, and then they might talk about something else. And like, that's kind of just how it is. So you don't have to feel like the pressure to talk about it exclusively or not talk. Like, I mean, it just almost happens. If you just sit there and just, but if you have something you want to say, just mention it. Like, then honestly, and that's a.
Like, if you're going through this experience and you're feeling like the friend that is gone would have really loved that experience, like, if you're like, oh, they would have loved this. Like, you would have like a room full of people agreeing, and then you can talk about good stories, you know, and then you can talk about your sad stories, because grief is sad and grief is hard and grief is better when shared, weirdly enough.
Yeah. Grief is, I really like what you said about grief being communal, though. And I know I'm like Sam, but I haven't had someone really close to me die. But
just me and you, George.
Like, all right.
Yeah, let's do it.
Up top.
The times that I've experienced grief in my life, grief is really strange because I've sort of said before, grief is whack. It's not linear. It hits you at really strange times. It does really weird things to you. It sometimes almost is, sometimes you're grieving and remembering really nice stuff and you kind of feel nice, but it's still grief. It's really strange when it happens, and everyone experiences it differently, but everyone's going through it. And I think the most accurate thing I've ever heard about grief is that it comes in waves, and being able to talk about it, it's so, so helpful just to say something like, oh, I'm really not doing well today because of this. And you'll be talking to someone who knows, and they will understand, because even if they're not in the wave right now, they'll have been there.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think it's about sharing it. I know my aunt passed away a couple of years ago, and she was my favorite person in the whole wide world. And everyone in my family took it really hard. She was like really the glue that held our family together. And she passed away quite young, and it was, you know, always inherently unfair when someone younger dies. And so you've also got anger with it, because I've noticed with my grief is like when I'm at an old person's funeral, like when my grandpa died, he died at 89. Good innings. You know, like
such a good innings.
That's really good innings. And there was like, there was nothing else you could really say. You were like, he's 89. Like, it's not like you got hit by a bus. He died of being old. But when my aunt passed away, she died of cancer, and it was unfair, you know, because she was like 50, and you were like, that's unfair. She had more life to live. And so you can get angry, and I get really angry in grief. And yelled at people at a funeral and caused a bit of a scene. And it's okay because you're grieving and no one can judge you.
Again, I'm not shocked by that last sentence.
No, it isn't. It's not shocking.
So take advantage of it.
So take advantage of it and yell at some strangers.
Yeah. Zoe, at my funeral, can you make a scene?
I will. I will. Sometimes I cause a scene at a funeral when I don't mean to, which is very funny. When my grandpa died, I was very...
You mean to sometimes.
Well, not that I mean... This is like, yeah. No, sometimes I'm like...
This funeral isn't about me enough.
Who's this cunt getting lowered? Why is the attention not on me? Oi, oi, oi. You in the front. Pay attention. Mate.
No. Joe's been really suffering during Corona.
Yeah, I really need no that constant thing. Attention. No, like my grandpa, when he passed, I didn't mean to, but I fell in a grave.
No. How did you not get really injured?
I got really muddy.
Did you? Is it like that's like something?
Did
out
you fall
of a fucking
6 feet?
Film?
No, I didn't fall 6 feet. I fell like 2.5 feet.
So you like, did you fall? Look up and see like your name on a grave.
I was like,
so was no, it? We, was it not quite dug or was it not quite filled in?
It was. Did you fall? Was, on, I don't know.
Fell
I
on a coffin.
Did you fall on a coffin?
I might have. Oh, I might have fallen on a dead person. I never thought about it that way. Anyway, then I just spent the rest of the funeral covered in mud, and everyone was like, why are you covered in mud? So I was like, I fell in a coffin. I fell in a grave.
Grave muds.
Grave mud. And then someone offered me a joint, and I was like, it is my grandpa's funeral. And they were like, is this not an appropriate time to offer you a joint?
So
I didn't read from that either.
No.
Yeah. And then and then as George knows, I did a dramatic read from Slaughterhouse 5.
Yeah. That rules.
Yeah, no. So sometimes
with no words changed.
With no words changed, just spoke about aliens for 20 minutes.
Just Traplomagorians.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Did that go down well?
No. Yeah. Not well. Like the people who wanted the funeral to be serious were as unhappy. But the funeral director had to leave the room because he was having too many laughs. So
it's especially funny because Greek funerals. Let me tell you right now,
they're never fun.
They are just they're
Greek.
Glorious in their full tragedy. Like they are weeping, renting of clothes. Yeah. Everyone's in black. There is none of this celebrating life stuff.
No, we don't celebrate life. We're happy that death has come.
Depression. Yeah, it is. Everyone wants to die on that day. It's grim.
It's the finally I get to crack out my blackware that I've been saving for the last 20 years.
Yeah. All the older widows are just competing with each other. Mm-hmm. Who can scream the loudest?
Straight up. And then someone handed me a microphone. And I was like, that was a bad choice. Yeah.
Oh, is it? It's a spotlight. Is that spotlight on me? Oh.
For me? The attention is on me?
I know what would be appropriate.
So. So sometimes grief
did
is
you,
weird.
Hang on, sorry. Did you have the book in your head? How did, why Slaughterhouse 5?
Because I think it's the greatest book on death ever written.
Okay. So it's all unpacked very much in the bookish episode.
Yeah, if you listen to George Dimarillis's bookish, I will explain to you why I think it's, no, I just think that death isn't like a big deal and maybe we should just. It should be funny. Which is probably not what you want to hear when you're writing and saying, like, you're struggling with your friend's death.
Yeah.
Personally.
Right. Everyone grieves in their own way.
Everyone
so
grieves
that's
in their own
okay.
way. And sometimes comedy can, it just happens.
Mm. Oh, it's true. I did want to say, though, because you did mention in your email that you haven't had a memorial. Maybe you could try and organize one just with your friends, because at the moment, things are just insane with COVID. And it's, I'm not surprised that it's just not been able to happen. Mm. But if you're still able to see your friends or at least do something small in your own way, like if that's something that you feel like you've missed out on, you can organize that. And that might be the icebreaker, sort of you and your friends need to sort of do it, because if it's still feeling like it's an elephant in the room and that none of you can talk about it, like as Zoe said, I'm sure you're all feeling the same way. Like that doesn't feel good when you are sitting there with grief and you feel like it is solely yours to to handle, because it's communal. It's so they'd all be feeling that way.
Yeah.
See if with you can organize something, even if it's small. Yeah.
In the UK.
Yeah, and hopefully, I'm not quite sure when this was written in, and I'm not quite sure about the UK restrictions, and they always sort of go up and down. And so, hopefully, during the time where there was less restrictions, you were able to do something nice and meaningful.
And also, regardless, I think when you can.
Yeah.
I think that's funny that I've mentioned this Greek funeral and everyone crying. We kind of did that, like when my mate passed away, that was the first night, was like that. It was fucked. Like it was messed up. Like it was disturbing what was going on in there. Like
it's
dark.
It's really weird when young people die and young people have to grieve.
Yeah, because everyone's like getting pissed and stuff, and it's just So like I think that's, but it's cathartic in a weird way.
George, I mean, I had a friend of a friend a couple of years ago who died of alcohol poisoning, and I was at the wake and everyone was getting drunk and we were like, this is an interesting choice.
Yeah, I remember that. That was
he died doing what he loved.
Yeah, you know, like it. I think when you're young, grieving is hard, like because it's especially when it's your first time grieving, of someone your own age and one of your peers. Like, because if it's hard to to do that. Like family, elderly, like you're like, oh yeah, that's Nan gets old, Nan dies. Like when it's young, yeah. it's hard. It's really yeah. hard to kind of process mm. that. And there's more emotion than just sadness that comes with grief. You're angry and it's unfair. Mm. And there's so many other things that, you yeah. know, especially like if you weren't expecting it, like there are so many factors that could come into it.
Mm.
Like hopefully a memorial in some way, like whether it's a sit down proper memorial or George's get drunk at a house, like if that's how you want to do it, because that's what we did when this friend of a friend passed away. They just got drunk at a house and like played all their favorite music, and they were like, this is what he loved to do, so this is what we're going to do tonight. And yeah, it kind of,
that's a good thing. That's still a memorial. Yeah, like yeah, if you that's do it still like a that memorial. You got a picture up and it's like you're acknowledging it is for this.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I hope that helps, and yeah, hope you getting through this.
And now a quick word from our sponsors.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Also, did you know we do too many shows across the Sandspants Radio Network? Take D&D's for Nerds, an actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast that I'm mostly on. Never played D&D in your life? Don't worry, up until we started, I hadn't either. Meticulously edited by yours truly, so you don't have to hear all the faff and math that interrupts a good fantasy story. Each campaign is standalone, and while veteran listeners will pick up characters, events, and places across the seasons, new listeners can start at any adventure. Just search for D&D's for Nerds on iTunes or Spotify, or head to our website, sanspantsradio.com. So our next email comes from someone that, first off, they want to thank us for going to therapy. We provided them with a much needed spark.
This doesn't really need to be a podcast. It just needs to be like a repeated clip just being like, go to therapy.
If you're thinking about emailing us in, I have something else
and
you should
think
about.
If the answer is go to therapy.
Still email us, of course.
But we like the attention.
But book therapy as well. Do both.
Do both.
Mm. Yeah, it was due to your recent mega list of reasons why you've been to therapy, Zoe. And also, George, your commitment to go to therapy was what spurred them on to get therapy.
See?
So that's very, very great. And we're very proud of you. So their question is.
That's right. That's great.
That they're struggling more and more with age-related bitterness.
This is George and Zammit.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
Me and Cass can sit this one out as youngins.
I feel that a lot. So.
Oh, you.
Shut up, Cass.
Yeah, Cass.
Shut up.
Yeah, you're the youngest person here.
No, I'm not.
Typical
yes,
Cass.
She seems
nice, but she's mean.
Oh, I am.
Because you were the youngest person. Every time you forget that you were the youngest. You were the youngest person
that I know.
That I know.
What? So yes, that's not right. I'm old.
No, you've just got big Nan energy. Mm. You're always in a shawl baking cookies.
Mm. Yeah.
So recently, I've struggled more and more with age-related bitterness. I feel like I've spent so much of my childhood, teenage years, and university being good and waiting patiently to become an adult so that I would be allowed to do things I dreamed of, write poetry and novels, get into the local music scene, etc. I recently turned 25.
No, okay, right. I can help with this.
Now Cass can help again.
Yeah, damn, she's it. Back in.
This is just mean. Is this a troll? Is this Cass? Did Cass send this?
Yeah.
I recently turned 25, and I look around me to see that while I was sitting around waiting, other people got on with things.
this is going to be
hard. No, I can help with this. I was there.
I like we're hearing Zamet's hope die as he reads this. You know he didn't prep well enough for this.
And now they're starting to see success in their creative ventures. Well, I haven't even started. I found this insecurity can sour my enjoyment of things I previously liked, as well as paralyzing me from actually doing anything myself. I know I'm still young by the numbers, but it can feel like I allowed myself to settle with comfortable consumption while others set off to make their mark on the world. Have you any advice on how to get back on track?
You're fine.
You're fine. Look, okay. I'm not invalidating your feelings or feeling this.
I might be.
because look, everyone is entitled to your feelings. That's how you feel.
That doesn't make them true.
I just don't care about your feelings,
yeah.
Mate.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, you're 25, nothing. No, it's like it's the kind of thing where like don't let age stop you from pursuing your creative endeavors or what it is that you want to do and what you might start off with doing, being like I want to be a creative person, can kind of like, you know, move and mutate and evolve to something else.
Yeah, like, none of us grew up wanting to be podcasters.
No, I'll just use my own worldview and examples. It's like, yeah, like I wanted to be a comic book artist when I was younger. I wanted to be into graphic design when I was younger, and I wanted to, you know, like you've said, write a novel, be a playwright, write poetry, et cetera, et cetera. But in my sort of, as I have grown and evolved and been in a sort of creative industry, it is for me much nicer having that, like taking that step back and helping other people produce and, you know, being like that person who is helping other people do things. So it's a lot nicer, I found. Even though it's like, hey, I haven't written a book, but hey, I've helped and, you know, paid someone and spurred on someone to do such a thing, or like those sort of creative endeavors. Mm. And I know I find that quite rewarding. And so like you're not too old to do anything like this. You can, you know, as we've said in previous episodes, you know, from now.
Starting from now.
So, yeah, like you are 25, and I don't know who your mates are of the same age who are these virtuosos.
Yeah.
He's doing that well at 25.
Who are doing extremely well.
I'm trying
well.
To think of what I was doing at 25, and the answer is like crying.
No, I was repressing that. Yeah, no, you
I was 2 years away from my first cry.
I was
well ahead of me.
So, yeah, I don't know what kind of bohemian friends
you
have.
Oh, no, I went back to uni at 25. I went back to uni.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I went back to uni because I thought I didn't do a good enough job. So I went back and I did it again to make sure that I did.
Well done.
Yeah.
You can just make choices to do it. My parents are both in their 50s and my dad only started sculpting giant dick sculptures in the past 4 years. And he's very famous for that now. He's a very well-renowned dick sculptor.
Councils don't want his stuff, but the people in the councils do.
Do.
That's a big controversy. And that was 50 over, you know?
Yeah, he got written up in, he's 54 and got written up in magazines for the first time in his life about his art because he changed, like he paused it for a while because someone had children and they needed attention. Mm.
Typical
children. And then
well, they did have a little Greek prince. So.
And then an Italian angel.
Yes.
She was right. Zoe was right. Sorry. So, you seem really well adjusted to this, Zoe.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine. And I'm not at all twitchy about little Greek princes.
Not at all.
Not at all. I'm fine. No. I'm fine. But yeah, my dad didn't start doing that till he was in his 50s when he was like, oh, I think I've got it. I think I've got, like, I just want to sculpt because now I've got the time to do it. And I haven't done it since I was like a teenager. Yeah. And I'm going to go back and do it. And then. He did, and he saw not only like a great success in like how we necessarily like, what am I trying to say? Like in how we market success nowadays.
Mm.
So like he got all like, you know, there was recognition and financial success and da 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 da. But also like he was just happy that he was doing it.
Mm.
Like he was just really happy to do it. So that, and then my mum on the other hand has been talking about going back to uni since I was a teenager, and she finally went back to uni to get her PhD. She was like, suck it, I'm doing it. So like there's no age limit on it. You just like life sometimes gets in the way of inherently, but like as long as you plan, like you got it. Like 25, man, 25.
25. I'm just
25. You got so much time.
It's too young to even be able to be like, remember when you thought da 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 was old? Because you never felt old before.
Yeah.
But seriously, when you were 22, you might have been like, oh man, I'm so much old. Like, you know, I've got to be. But it's like, think back now to when you were 22, how much you'd be like, you idiot.
Yeah.
Clearly, you're a child. You're going to think that exact same thing about this in 3 years. Like, you're always going to think that.
So. Yeah, I know. Every time I'm like, look back as I were like a year ago, I'm like, you dumb fuck.
Yeah.
Why'd you think this, you stupid idiot?
Why didn't you know all the good things that I know?
Holy crap, you stupid shit.
I have been there, like literally, like at 25.
Last year?
I just had my birthday, so it's technically at least 13 months ago. I've literally been there, and I know what you're talking about in terms of creativity, because the thing, if you've been through the same thing, if you're going through the same thing I went through, you watch people around you that find something they like, find something that they're passionate about and start doing. And when you like something and you're passionate, and above all, you practice and you keep doing it, you get better and you watch someone get better. And in the same way that if you look back at your life like a year or 2 years ago, I'm just going to base this that you're like me, so I really hope this helps, because, God, I was right there. Like,
giving babies advice right
now.
No.
Oh, I can't watch this episode of Teen Mom.
I have friends who are creative, and I remember feeling like I had wasted all my years because I didn't. And I remember thinking I didn't learn an instrument. I didn't do more with these. You know, I remember when I was younger, I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to be a songwriter, and I didn't do that. And, you know, when you are in the present and you can look back at the past, you see time for what it truly is, which is fleeting. And you can see your entire year of a life as what it is, which is a year. As you move forward through time, every single year of your life feels shorter because relatively it's a smaller percentage of your life. So as you get older, they're going to feel shorter, and that's fine. That's normal. That's literally, you only get that way if you don't die, and that rules. So love that. But it
we
also
did it.
But you need to recontextualize time for yourself in that way. And I think time, in the same way that you look back and you think, oh, I wasted 5 years of my life not learning screenwriting and not practicing my creative writing and not doing X, Y, Z, learning an instrument, focusing on this thing that I'm secretly passionate about, learning to draw, learning to write. Because when you look back at what people have achieved in those same years, you look back at it with the relativity of your own time and what you can see, and you can think, oh my God, they've dedicated 6 years of their life time, because you can only experience time in the exact present, which means it doesn't really exist because every moment is gone as you think of it, as soon as you acknowledge it. So you see everyone's success as a choice they made 6 years ago, which feels like nothing, which makes you feel like you have wasted 6 years. But when you think of a year, you are thinking forward, and you are thinking of a long time. Because if you think forward into the future, you have to think of all the sort of stress that goes with planning a future for yourself. So you need to recontextualize time for yourself. I've been through this because I watch my friends learn an instrument.
I hope she's relating to this so much. Yeah. It'd be amazing.
You watch someone become, like, say they want to do something and then do it, and nothing will make you feel worse about yourself if you want to be creative. So I've been there. But the only way to do something and get good at it is to do it. And I know this is something I struggle with, because I will look at all these things that I want to do and then I won't do them, and then a month will go past and I'll think, oh, lockdown as well for us, because we've been in lockdown. I don't know where in the world you are, but we've been in lockdown for 7 months now.
Oh, and we could have achieved so many things by now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing. Like, when lockdown, and to be fair, none of us knew when lockdown would, you know, end or whatever. I remember when we were like 2 weeks. Anyway. I remember when it first started, I saw people, like a lot of people be like, oh, you know, I can do this. When lockdown first started, I was like, hey, at the end of this month, or 6 weeks or whatever it was, I'm going to be able to do the splits. And I didn't. But I now know, looking back, that if I did that every single day, I would be able to do the splits by now. And that is with every single thing in your life. If you literally do it every single day, you can't not get better. So you need to make the choice to do it. And then as soon as you look back, like if you're looking back now for what you didn't achieve in a year, just start doing something. Because when you are 26, you will look back, and if you were too scared to start something, and I 100% have been
there.
You miss
100%
really
of the shots you don't take.
Hell yeah, baby.
Yeah. Like you need to use that perception of time that we all have that makes you feel terrible, because I have that. You just need to use it to your advantage. Time can't exist in any perceptible way. So,
well, Kaz,
when did this become a tenet?
Yeah, Kaz, wouldn't it also be healthy to also recognize that this person also probably like did achieve something, like because they went to uni and they did that, and
like
they just did something different, like. I don't know, because I spent a year, 2 years of my life just staring at a wall and like not achieving things.
No, you were getting better.
That's
what I was gonna say.
I'm sorry.
Stop mansplaining my depression to me. I know I got better.
Maybe I've worded this really strangely. This is just sort of how I was able to be
I feel like I'm watching an episode of Doctor Who and I don't quite understand what's happening.
Well, look, in summary.
Fucking quantum leap over here.
This is 6 months of quarantine right here.
You go on quantum leap. Great new name for Cash. All right. Big fan.
Okay, fine. Ignore what I've just said. The only way that you can waste time is if you do something that you know you don't want to do.
Well, that's not 100% true.
Actually, hang on. No, I said that wrong. Hang on. No.
Yeah, because like sometimes I'm at work and I don't want to be there.
No. Sorry.
Yeah, but you do want to be there.
No, hang on.
Cass on this. No, you do. You want the overriding thing. You want to be there. If you don't want to be there at all, for any reason, then that is a waste
of time. George is right. But the only way you can waste time is if you realize you don't want to do something and you continue. And when we're thinking about want and not want, sometimes the want is to, you know, earn money to get out of it. But if you are like, I don't want to do my job, I'm going to stay here for this day and then find a new job that I do like that actually fulfills me, you need to constantly make a change to do that. Why are you doing that face?
I disagree.
I just feel like I need a corkboard and a lot of red string to unpack what I've listened to.
I also disagree, Cass. I don't think you necessarily have to do things that like fulfill you all the time.
Like, but they're things that you will want to do. I'm not saying that every single moment of your life has to be bliss, because that's not how life works. It's just the like everything you have done to this point. Like even I, with you know, I have been where you are. And I'm able to look back, and sometimes for things that I thought, like, I don't feel like I've ever wasted time in my, I look back at things that I've done, and even though I have those thoughts in my head of I should have gone to screenwriting school or I should have been doing X, Y, Z, I can still find all the ways that all the things I've done in my life have improved who I am as a person, have taught me lots, and have gotten me where I am today, and I'm happy, and that's good, and that. And, like, there's no point in being like, oh, I should have done this, because you can't. You can only do things now. And what I'm trying to say with that thing is the only way you can waste time is if you realize you're in a situation you don't want to be in and you continue, is that it's not that
live
every
your life,
last...
no regrets.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, but,
no regrets.
But like,
doesn't make any sense.
If you are finding yourself, like, in a degree or a job or something that you're like, wow, I actually really don't like this, it's not that you should... Okay, I'm a big fan of quit, but if that's not
quit
always
your
that,
job,
it's not always an option. So if you're like, okay, the thing I'm doing right now, I know that that's not what I want to keep doing in perpetuity, but I can't quit immediately. Just take the time to find someone else. Make sure you are dedicating time to improving your life eventually.
Also, you might be putting all this stuff on a pedestal, so you should try it out first.
Yeah.
Like the screenwriting,
oh, my God.
You're doing.
Do you know
give
the power of quitting? Okay, my life changed. I remember I had a really life-changing summer last year and this year where I realized three things, okay? And I don't know if I've talked about this.
Short 20
I watched Interstellar,
years,
right?
Yeah.
Actually, it might have been over the course of a year. I had the realization after going I had the realization that you can do anything, right? And I'm really lucky. That's I grew up in a household where I was encouraged to do anything I wanted, but it never really hit me that, like, you could just do anything that you wanted. Like, if I woke up one day and knew with every fiber of my being that I wanted to become a gardener, I could learn how to do that. Mm-hmm. What?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's
true. It's good. Keep going.
Keep going.
Yeah. So, like, so I could do that, right? And I would know that there were steps I would have to take and tools I would need, and but there was a way that I could make that happen, right? I could do anything. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. then I had another realization.
You beautiful great prince. Later,
this is helping, yeah? The person yep. listening, what I'm saying is that it doesn't end. Do you think this? I still feel good? Okay, no. But then the next realization I had months later was me being like, I don't have to do anything. And that okay. was my game. Yeah. That's yeah. good. No, but like everything in your life is a choice.
Fuck, I can do everything. I can do nothing.
But that's the thing. It's like
including do nothing.
Huh? But really, like even things where it's like, oh my God, like things where people are like, I have to, like it, even something is like, oh, it's like, oh, I have to go see a relative this weekend. And for all the societal pressure
grandma
says,
again.
Yeah. 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 All the okay. societal pressure will say you quote unquote have to do it, but literally you could choose to not go. And yeah, it would have consequences, but that would be your choice to cop them, you know? But
it's about what kind of problem you want to have.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But you like every single thing you do is a choice, right? So if you're like, I like even at the base things of like you choose to go to work. Feels you don't like have to. That'll obviously have consequences, but it's a choice.
Yeah, like
and
eating.
Taking back that responsibility for the choices that you make and not and ridding yourself of the feeling of your life being something you have to participate in and something that you are choosing to actively do is really, really good and gives you that power. And then I had another realization of like, oh, wait, I could literally do anything. Like, I could walk around the street and kick a bit.
This is a roller coaster.
It's yes. like you reach nirvana, man.
Yeah, but like, I can do anything. Like, I could go and do, like, so many crimes. And I don't want to. I'm not going to. But, like,
oh,
I
my God. This
like,
is
I could yeah, be at the really? Shop and just, like, punch in the cheese glass and, like, but I'm not going what? To. But I could.
I don't think you're strong enough.
Anyway.
I don't.
Something's happened to Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap's leaped.
Anyway,
6 months.
You know the power of a month like, and a how's week Melbourne and a year lockdown? If you watch your friends improve at creative things because it doesn't take so long to see progress and then all of a sudden they're great. You can harness that power. You can do anything you want. You
just
have to
harness the power.
Yeah. Yep. But also sucking for a while and stuff really does suck. So like... Yeah, it takes
oh,
a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well,
no.
It's understandable to not do it because you can't be fucked because it does suck sucking at stuff.
Yeah, but you get to make the choice whether you want to do it or not because in a month you'll be better.
Mm-hmm. I guess to boil this down.
What? That's not good?
Cohesive
here is so for the creative industry, and I guess you hear a lot of – this is like not just for creative industry, for anyone who is quote-unquote a success. And in our culture – In the movies and films and all the kind of things that we like to watch, we love to hear about an overnight success, and we're fed this idea of this overnight success. And so, when you are not an overnight success, you're like, well, why even bother trying if I can't be good straight away? All of those.
Why not try? I be bad.
Yeah, all of those are just lies and good PR and marketing. Mm.
It's like all those musical biopics, whatever, where it's like they're just good to show. It's like, man, show me grinding for 50 years, which is what it actually is.
Mm. And, and that's the thing. A lot of those like biopics that are based on a true story, it's like mostly bullshit and they've added things in for drama. Mm. And you're just like, oh, we need this to have a purpose or a point. And a
yeah, I feel like if they ever made like the Sans Pants Radio like unauthorized documentary, like they probably wouldn't show like the fucking 30 hours a week we all spend in front of our computer being like, is this good?
I mean, to be fair, so, George and I waltzed it.
Oh, yes.
Look, that's you. That's you. Some of us put the grind in.
So that's the secret. Your friends are good now. Join them. Yeah. They've done the grind.
Oh, yeah. You have all your friends who are bohemian, like, virtuoso artists.
Just jump on their train.
Yeah,
it is a huge benefit when they've got that because they know where to go and point in the right direction. Actually, it's really useful.
Actually, that is really useful.
Yeah, that's really good.
But yeah, so getting off track, but getting back on track. So nothing happens overnight. You can just sort of try doing something, and you know you mentioned here, you know, writing poetry or writing a novel or something like that. That just is a thing you need to do every day.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, you know, you hear authors, like, what it's the biggest advice is that they just do something every day. You do it every day. And that's going to be the hard thing. You know, picking up a pen or writing on Word or whatever, that's easy. The hard part is doing it every day. And that's sort of what you should be doing if that is a pursuit that you want to do. And as we just kind of touched on before there, if you have these incredible friends who are very successful, pick their brains, have a chat to them, see if you can help out with whatever it is that they're doing in a creative endeavor. I'm sure they would either like the help or offer you some advice there.
That can cut down so much time as well.
Yeah,
it's actually more efficient.
Yeah, and if you come in with a genuine want to learn, like people tend to want to teach.
Yeah. So you're 25, you are not too old to do the things you want to do.
You're not.
You're halfway to death, but you'll make it, okay?
Also,
that's it. 50 and done, baby.
Yeah. If you want a year's experience in something, you got to do it for a year, you know? And that's how a decade starts, a year at a time. Also, I don't mean this to be frightening.
Quantum leap!
Gone from 1 year to 10! Jesus Christ, she's a fucking time wizard!
Well, look, I mean this in a motivating way. You can cut
all
this
right,
if this comes across
what now?
If you don't start now, you'll be 26 having not started.
That's true.
But you could be 26 with a year of experience. And you could start and go for a month and be like, this sucks, and quit, and then find something else you like.
Quitting is pretty fucking good.
Quitting when it sucks,
though, not starting
the most
and
powerful
saying you
move
wish
in
you started.
Yeah, complaining. If you want to complain.
You think that you would have been so good.
Oh, yeah, wasted potential. Oh, you could dine out for months, years on wasted potential. Oh, imagine if you tried.
Do you know how good I would speak French?
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Zoe B.
I've been George.
I've been Cass.
No, you haven't. You've been Quantum Leap.
Get it right. Get it right.
I've been Quantum Leap.
Yay!
And we're still fine.
Yay!
Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with us for some very unprofessional advice that goes beyond just go to therapy, feel free to email us on happylittlepod@gmail.com and make sure you put somewhere in the email okay to air if you're happy to have us discuss it on the show. Hope you have a great day. You're not alone. We love you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.